Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of May 27th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and summerific Melissa Hansen.
Yes. Well, it's hot and humid and storming and...
Is it?
Miserable in Texas. It's summer.
Well, send some of that heat up here, because last night it was 38 degrees and pouring rain.
Well, you know what? Just be glad it wasn't about 6 degrees colder.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh, man, if we had snow on Memorial Day weekend, I would have shit.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's been crazy up north a lot.
And to think, if I was back home in L.A., I could have been at Disney for the 24-hour monstrous summer event.
You could have. But L.A. is no longer home, so.
Killing me.
Wah.
Yeah, well, we'll see how long. Maybe I'll get back there quickly. I'm missing my beach. I'm missing, yeah.
Anyhow. Wait for this segue. Speaking of back.
Yes.
Home,
yes.
Arrested Development is back.
Yay.
So I'm sure that most of you who watched all of them by the time you're listening to this.
I have not.
Because I know that's what a lot of people are doing for their Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
We're recording this Sunday afternoon, and I have watched 3 episodes so far.
Okay.
I am making myself spread it out at least over the 2 days.
Now, preface this by saying that we were fans of season 1 and 2, but not so much of season 3.
Okay, well, even before that,
yeah,
everybody's talking about it. I did not get into it at the beginning when it, you know, was on, and I was in, I can't tell you when or where or why, but I was in a hotel room. And it was on. I'm like, this is the show everybody's talking about. I'm going to watch this. And it was one of the Charlize Theron episodes.
Yes.
Which is not the time to come into the show.
True.
And I was like, what the hell is everyone talking about? This is shit.
Yeah, this is the whole Wee Britain thing.
Yeah. So I gave it another chance later on DVD and, of course, loved it. So now it's back. We're all excited. It's on Netflix. You know, for it's worth it to go get Netflix for a month.
Yeah. And your verdict is?
For the streaming, it's interesting. I got to wait longer because it's different than the other seasons. It's not this chronological thing.
Okay.
It's 15 episodes, like close to half an hour.
Okay.
And they all tell a different piece of the story.
Of the same story.
Of the same-ish story. The family story. Yeah, the same story. The family story, what's going on right now with the family.
All right.
Including what happened between then and now.
Ooh, interesting.
So, yeah, how they ended up kind of where they are.
Okay.
So each episode is kind of, and again, I've only watched 3, so maybe some of them aren't like this, but one member of the family's story. It centers on them.
Ah.
And the rest are in it, but like, you'll be watching it and all of a sudden, I'm not going to do spoilers really, but like maybe is in George Michael's dorm room. And like, where the fuck did she come from?
Huh.
Well, we have to wait for maybe's episode to find out.
Okay.
Or there's thing and all of a sudden like Job is on the couch making a noise. And you're like, what is Job doing there? You know?
Yeah.
And we see it like twice, like in George Senior's story and then Michael's story, and we still don't know what's happening to Job. We have to wait for Job's episode to find out why he's lying on the couch.
Okay.
So, it's good. I mean, there was, which the last one I watched was when it was the third one, and it's set up in an order, and I'm just watching them in that, but you really could watch them kind of any order.
Okay.
It's not going to be more confusing, but it was like Lindsay's, and I snickered for like 30 minutes straight. I just like kind of snort snickered. Through, like, the whole thing.
Nice.
It wasn't big guffaw laughs here and there. It was just kind of beautiful, yeah, right through.
So I think the biggest concern with all of this is that the characterizations would be blown after being away for so long. Is that true?
No.
Okay.
And, like, the actors?
Yes.
They're completely dead on.
Okay. So they haven't missed a beat.
No.
All right. So the relationships are all
still
there.
And it's the same thing. It's the same type of humor. You still have Ron Howard narrating. It's the same. It's the same. And the characters are the same. It's really good. And like I said, I can't give a final verdict until I've seen at least most of the episodes, which I will have by next week.
But so far then, Mitch Hurwicz has been able to recapture what was best about the series.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's these freaking characters. You want to smack and hug at the same time.
Good. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm going to spend probably the better part of tomorrow watching it. So.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll give you next week, we'll give you a more full review on that.
Yeah, so if you want to avoid spoilers, stay away from the internet because everybody's going to be talking about it over the next...
It's not too bad, I will tell you this. I was nervous. People are being good on Twitter and Facebook, and people are like, yay, it's back. But nobody's given stuff away that I've seen.
Nice.
I have really good friends.
That's good to hear.
Because no one's ruining it yet.
All right. Well, my entertainment this week, I watched Warm Bodies, which is that zombie romantic comedy.
Yes. Yeah, I remember when we talked about that.
Right. It came into the office after we had already sent out all the staff mailing. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to review this myself this weekend. And my brother and I sat down and watched it. And I was impressed.
Good.
Now, I love Nicholas Holt. I mean, I've loved him since he starred opposite Hugh Grant in About a Boy as the fat little kid. He went on and did Skins for BBC, which was a really tough, gritty, kind of a coming-of-age drama. He's done a bunch of stuff. He did The Weatherman with Nick Cage.
Oh, God, that movie sucked. But
I know,
yeah,
it was terrible. But he's a great actor. He played Hank McCoy, the Beast, in X-Men Days of Future Past. He's a really great actor. And in this, he owns this movie because all of the empathy and all of the heart and soul of this film he carries as this new zombie who's trying to figure out what happened to him. And he falls in love with this girl who is fighting as part of the human resistance, who happens to be the daughter of John Malkovich's lunatic military commander.
So wait, it's kind of a Romeo and Juliet?
It is. It very much is. There's even a balcony scene.
Nice.
Which will tell you how much that they've invested in doing the Romeo and Juliet thing. But there's different classifications of zombies in this. Rob Corddry plays Nick Holt's best friend. And, of course, zombies can't really communicate, right? But the more... The story is, as this zombie falls in love, he starts to cure himself of whatever it was that caused the zombie plague in the first place.
Okay.
So as the story goes on, as more love tends to spread amongst these zombies, they start to come back to life.
Nice.
It's beautiful. I guess it's based on a book.
Love really is a
love
cure
conquers for everything. All. Yep.
Oh.
So it's really sweet. It's well done. God, the production design on this, they filmed it up in Montreal.
Okay.
And they must have cleared out entire sections of the city to film some of this because it's total post-apocalyptic, and they did graffiti and all sorts. And I don't imagine it's all CGI. There was a lot of practical work that they did.
Okay.
So if you haven't checked it out in the theater, it's well worth checking out on DVD or Blu-ray or streaming. So...
Okay, nice.
And some big surprises at the box office this weekend, I have to say, given the fact that you had The Hangover 3 and Fast and Furious and this family movie epic, and I'm surprised you came out on top.
Yeah, Vin Diesel did.
So great. This is sixth. This movie almost went direct to DVD.
Oh, I'm sure. Again, yeah, it's six, and everybody's back for this, pretty much, except for Lucas Black, who is in the one that had nothing to do with anything else.
Oh, where they went to Japan. Yeah.
Yeah. But Fast and Furious 6, $122 million.
Even more than Star Trek made in its opening weekend.
That's insane, people. And here's the thing. Few people I know saw it.
Yep.
Loved it. And
really?
They're not, like, just... Fast and Furious people.
Okay.
And they say it's a great just action summer popcorn flick. For the type of movie it is, it's really good.
I have never seen any of those films. And that's not like me personally avoiding them. I just have never seen
them. Yeah. Well, this might be the one.
Okay.
So anyhow, and then Hangover Part 3, which is getting dismal reviews, okay. $51
million. Yep, the gas is running out of that.
$51 million, if I hadn't said anything about Fast and Furious, that would be good.
Right, but and again, sure, for a summer movie, it's a little off the mark because they've been making, what, 75, 80?
Yeah, so anyhow, Star Trek is hanging in there, number 3, with 48.
Okay.
And then Epic with 44.
My nieces and nephews went to see it yesterday for my niece's birthday, and they loved it. My brother said it was very derivative of other movies.
Yeah.
But he said it was good. They did a nice job with it.
Okay. Well, good. And Iron Man 3 is hanging in there with almost $25 million
okay.
in fifth place.
The other interesting note from this week, The Great Gatsby has passed $100 million, which is the first Baz Luhrmann picture ever to gross $100 million.
Wow. That's actually not that surprising.
Yeah.
With the money they put into this.
Yeah, that's true.
It'll take that long to hit it.
Yeah. And he's actually talking about doing press for this, and he and Leo have done, they did Romeo and Juliet together, and now they've done this. He's like, what's next? They're developing Hamlet for Leonardo DiCaprio.
I know. I'm a bigger fan than some people of Leo. I like watching Leo. I don't think he's a great actor, but for some reason I like watching him, and I love the choices he makes in the films he does.
Yeah.
I think he's fairly brave with stuff, and I appreciate that. But I
don't know. Did you see Django Unchained yet?
No.
I'm curious to see what you think about his performance.
I haven't. It's on my list.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it's kind of one of those movies you got to be in the mood for, and
yeah.
I watched Up instead this week, so obviously it was not in that kind of mood.
It's all right. It's a beautiful movie. One of my favorites. Coming to the box office next week, you kind of get a little bit of a break. Now, Will Smith used to own the 4th of July weekend. For years, his movies would come out and make a buttload of money. So he's lost that status, and he stopped doing summer movies. Well, this is the first one he's done in several years. It's called After Earth. It's yet another post-apocalyptic. Like, I am so sick of post-apocalyptic movies. Like, guys, think of something else.
Yeah. But he's, well, and especially with him in it.
I know.
Okay, get it.
Do you know Roland Emmerich is developing? Roland Emmerich is developing a sequel to Independence Day with Will Smith.
Of course.
I mean, it's just like, can we get a little bit more original, please? I'm sorry. Anyways, this movie co-stars Will's son, Jaden, who has talked about with the press that he wants to be emancipated as a teenager. Like, I don't know.
I appreciate, in a way, the way they're raising their kids to be strong and independent and to have confidence.
I suppose.
But I don't know if their confidence should go all the way to their careers.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll see how well this does. I think we've kind of...
Now, I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
Obviously. Sent out. Is there a big M. Night twist?
Oh, I don't know.
It's an M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, Shyamalan Ding Dong movie. I didn't even realize that.
He wrote it and directed it. It's one of his movies. I'm just wondering, is it more his movie or is it more a Will Smith movie?
I hope it's more of a Will Smith movie because movie I saw of his with Mark Wahlberg about the plants and the trees talking to each other and killing everybody off. Holy shit, was that a bad movie.
Because this seems almost like it's just a father-son bonding movie. It just happens to be futuristic.
And then it turns out they're all inside a snow globe on somebody's desk.
Oh, on the mind of an autistic child. All right. So whoever goes and sees this next weekend, let me know. Send me an email if it's more a Will Smith movie or more an M. Night movie.
If there's a twist, a big
twist.
Okay,
thank you.
All right. The other couple movies coming out this week, Now You See Me. So Incredible Hulk director Louis Leterrier is tracking a group of high-profile, like Vegas-type magicians as they pull off the crime of the century.
Yes. So it's almost an Ocean's.
It does look like an Ocean's thing. Michael Caine's in it. Morgan Freeman's in it.
Yeah, you even have those like older actors, kind of.
Jesse Eisenberg, who I can take in small doses. But he is one of the most depressing actors to watch because he just mopes around the screen. Like, hey, blah, blah, blah.
And here it's got Mark Ruffalo.
That's true. It does.
And that's not for anybody else.
It's true. And Dave Franco, James Franco's younger brother.
Yes.
Who was in Warm Bodies for about 5 minutes before he got killed off. And then.
No. Oh, spoiler.
Sorry. But he shows up in flashbacks for the rest of the movie.
Okay.
I won't tell you how it happened or why.
All right.
Another movie called The East, in which Ellen Page and Alexander Skarsgård star. It's a deep cover infiltration of an anarchist group that attacks major corporations.
Yeah, it sounds like kind of crappy almost.
Yeah.
Like cable movie? But then it's got this cast.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And it's produced by the Scott boys, and I don't know.
Late Tony Scott.
Yeah.
Which we never found out the story about why he committed suicide.
Well, is there always a story?
No, there isn't. It's just disappointing. I had the chance to interview Ridley Scott years ago, which was one of my favorite interviews of all time. Mm-hmm. So those two were incredibly creative, and it's just a shame.
Yeah.
It's a real shame. And one final movie this week, again, you want to talk about counter-programming. It's called Kings of Summer. It's a story of three teenage boys who decide to spend their summer building a house in the woods and living off the land, which feels a little like Stand By Me. I mean, where you just kind of go off.
Yeah, boys out on their own.
Right. The one bonus to this is Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec co-stars.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And?
Yes?
Who also co-stars is his wife.
Oh!
Megan Mullally is in
too. I didn't realize that.
Yep.
Yeah, I was kind of floored when you told me that the two of them were actually married. I'm like, what?
Yeah, they've been together a long time, actually.
And their relationship on Parks and Rec is just absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, this is the digression episode. I'm going to go off on tangents for the rest of the... I apologize.
Excellent. A theme.
ADD boy. Squirrel! Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, Cleopatra, the 50th anniversary of Elizabeth Taylor's massive epic in which she almost bankrupted the studio. So I'm sure there's going to be a wealth of bonus materials on that. It's a movie that I have never gotten all the way through.
Okay.
I've seen Ben-Hur. I've seen the 10
ringing endorsements.
Never gotten all the way through Cleopatra. Maybe I'll get through it this time.
Okay.
BBC's Doctor Who, the Christmas episode, The Snowmen, which is really not a Christmas episode in that it's not a standalone story like A Christmas Carol was a couple years ago, or the Widow, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or whatever that was last year, the previous year. It's really a setup for the second part of Series 7, which is also available on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Overall, it's kind of a hit and miss. I know you haven't seen it yet, so I don't want to talk too much about it. But it ended.
They weren't thrilled with most of it.
It ended very strong.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Was Gaiman's episode like the best thing ever?
It wasn't the best thing ever, but it was one of the best things of the season.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not saying much.
And it co-stars Warwick Davis, so.
Well, come on. That is the best thing ever. What are you talking about?
In a very sweet and touching, not a comedic type. He usually plays kind of these wacky characters, but it's a very touching character that he gets to play here.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. Also coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, we've got the TNT original series Longmire, two of USA's original series, Covert Affairs Season 3 and Suits Season 2. We've also got Beetlejuice, the complete animated series, which our review is up on DVD Verdict right now. And one of my favorite unsung 80s movies of all time, I mean, after the whole John Hughes thing, is Whoopi Goldberg's Jumpin' Jack Flash. It's coming to Blu-ray this week. And it was one of her first film projects. Jim Belushi and John Lovitz co-star in this. And she's one of those people that's in the wrong place at the wrong time and winds up getting caught in this international espionage. And she has to save the life of Jonathan Pryce.
Nice.
Without ever really meeting him, she has to save him. So it's a lot of fun. Coming to Redbox this week, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone in Gangster Squad, Matt Damon in Promised Land, Christopher Walken, Alan Arkin, and Al Pacino in Stand Up Guys, and two of the family animated classics of recent years, Disney's Tangled and DreamWorks' Megamind, come back for families who are trying to keep their kids occupied during the summer when they don't want to pay to go to the theater. Over at Netflix this week, Arrested Development Season 4, End of Watch with Jake Gyllenhaal, Leaving Las Vegas with Nick Cage, and Chris Colfer's Struck by Lightning. Now, this was the movie that he wrote, I think, while he was working on Glee, right? And then shot during his hiatus.
He did a book, and he did, I don't know, he found the cure for cancer, and PhD, and I don't know what all that kid did.
Oh, boy. And then quickly over at Hulu, not much. Don Adams and Barbara Feldman get back together for Get Smart Again, which was a television reunion movie. Elijah Wood and Ed Burns in the crime drama Ash Wednesday. Why don't I remember that movie?
Because it was Elijah Wood and Ed Burns in a crime movie.
I don't know, but I pretty much saw everything that Ed Burns did since Brother McMullen.
So. Well, yeah, but is this his movie or is he just acting?
Yeah, he may just be acting in it. My sister will be interested in this. It's a documentary called I'm Not Nuts, Living with Food Allergies. Because my niece has a terrible peanut allergy.
I was totally high. I was going a different way with that title in your sister.
Sorry, inside.
Love you, Meg.
And then the New York Dolls retrospective. If you guys know Buster Poindexter, he was in a punk band called the New York Dolls before he went off on his own to do his kind of retro hipster thing. It's called Looking Fine on Television, and it was all of their club performances that were shot for, like, local cable access stuff.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
All right. That's what I've got for streaming.
Okay. Well, geez, there's a lot happening on TV this week.
Really?
Usually end of May, like, you know, before, what, a few years ago.
Yeah.
Was, everything was done, and that was it. Well, we still have a couple things ending, and then we have all the cable shows doing their summer stuff, but then again, networks are into the summer thing. So, all right, here we go. Monday, ABC, it's The Bachelorette, and she was one of the finalists or whatever on The Bachelor, and they're bringing them back. And anyhow, that starts Monday. And then A&E, their summer type shows, season premieres of The Glades and Longmire. And then on Lifetime, we have Ring of Fire. It's a TV movie. Well, it stars Jewel.
Oh.
And it's Dune and Johnny Cash. I'm like, this has already been done and won Oscars. Yeah. I'm not sure why we're doing it now. But anyhow, if you really, really liked the Reese Witherspoon one and Joaquin Phoenix, maybe you'll not hate this. Or I don't know. Maybe you will. Anyhow, that's on Lifetime. You can see Jewel with dark hair if you all about her.
Okay.
Maybe that's what the redeeming quality is.
Jeez.
And then Tuesday, this is a show I actually watched and was inspired by. It's the Extreme Makeover shows, but it's the weight loss one. And it's, they take people that are like 500 pounds and they train them and follow them for a year, an entire year. And well, they lose 150 pounds, some of them. It's crazy what these people do. And I'm like, damn it, I've got 10 pounds to get off my fat ass and I can't do it. Anyhow, Body Proof, which I've talked about how I cut the cord on that one earlier, but that finale is on ABC on Tuesday night. CBS has a new show called Brooklyn DA that's premiering. And then on Tuesday night on FearNet.
Yes.
All cable thing. FearNet is going to be running the CW show Reaper.
Oh, my God.
Running that. But they're starting it off with a freaking Reaper reunion special.
Shut up.
The cast, including Ray Wise, will be there.
Oh, nice.
So, anyhow, so fans of that, if you watched it before, you might want to check out FearNet Tuesday night.
It's a great show.
Oh. Yeah, and then Wednesday, ABC has the premiere of The Lookout. CBS has American Baking Competition. Dum, dum, dum. Whatever. But NBC has a special called Healing in the Heartland Relief Benefit Concert. So NBC is the caring network this week. And ABC Family has a bunch of its premieres. Melissa and Joey, Baby Daddy, and Dancing Fools Wednesday night. On Thursday, we're finally going to see the Mike and Molly finale. They got pulled.
That was a tornado episode.
Yeah. So they're sliding that one in.
All right.
And History has a season premiere of Pawn Stars on a Thursday. And Friday, What Would You Do? Premieres on CBS. And that was like a segment on one of their news shows. They're like weekly news shows. They did this, like, set up hidden cameras.
Yeah.
And like someone yelling at an employee in a store or something. And what would you do? But now it's a whole freaking show.
Huh.
Anyhow, but Showtime Friday night
is
premiering a new documentary. Richard Pryor, Omit the Logic.
We just got an entire Richard Pryor box set from Shout Factory.
Nice.
With all of his concert movies and other stuff. So are we coming up on an anniversary or a birthday for him?
I don't know.
It must be, because there seems to be some renewed interest.
What to do with this? So anyhow, those of you with Showtime, better check that out, because I can't. And
there you go.
At you if you don't. Saturday, Bet on Your Baby finally has its season finale on ABC. And then Sunday, still NBC, is the Caring Network because it has Women's Concert for Change.
Oh, boy.
How Are Women Around the World? And it's starring Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Timbaland. They're all coming out for that. But on Bravo, those of you that have been missing those Crazy Housewives, the New Jersey ones. Sunday night, along with the new show, Princesses, Long Island.
Lord.
That's premiering. And Kimmy and all the girls and poor Bruce are back on E! On Sunday night.
Hi.
Music this week, kind of all over the place. This really, really cool CD and download. It's called Bennett and Brubeck, The White House Sessions, Live 1962.
Holy crap.
Tony Bennett and Dave Brubeck.
Wow.
Performance from the White House Seminar American Jazz Concert.
Damn.
But from 62. So a live performance there out on CD. Alice in Chains has a new album called The Devil Put Dinosaurs Here. And Skinny Puppy has a new album called Weapon. John Fogerty.
What?
Wrote a song for everyone, it is called, and it covers a bunch of the classics.
Yeah.
But he's duetting with Foo Fighters, Miranda Lambert, Bob Seger, Brad Paisley, Jennifer Hudson.
Shit, best outdoor concert ever saw in my life. John Fogerty, John Mellencamp together.
Yeah, that pretty well rocked.
Yeah, that was a great show.
Yeah, and John Fogerty is one of those guys. I'm like, oh, yeah, I like John Fogerty.
Yeah.
And that concert, sitting there, because he was, like, opening for Mellencamp, which
right.
is really sad. I don't know. But and I'm like, oh, crap, I forgot this song. I love this song. Oh, this song. This is the best song. Oh, man, I totally forgot this one. I love this one. You, like, forget how many great songs he had.
Yep.
Anyhow, so that's I would like to take a listen to. And then soundtracks, a bunch of soundtracks this week, including Kinky Boots.
Oh,
The Broadway musical, so Broadway cast recording. Epic, that we talked about earlier. Uh-huh. Danny Elfman did the soundtrack for that.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. And then Pain and Gain. I don't know why it took the song for the soundtrack coming out, but Steve Jablonski.
Okay.
He did the soundtrack to that, and that is out.
Nice.
And then books. We get a week off from seeing it again.
Thank God.
But say Dean Koontz. This week. He has a new one called Deeply Odd.
Yes, he
and
is.
One of my favorite writers, Dan Savage.
Oh, yeah.
He has a new actual book. It's been a while since he's published a book. It's called American Savage, Insights, Slights, and Fights on Faith, Sex, Love, and Politics.
He's done a lot of television interviews and commentaries, and so it's good to see him writing again.
He's done a lot with It Gets Better.
Yeah, right, exactly.
On that, so... Anyhow, so we have him in book form, not just online, or if you're in Seattle, you know, in book form. We have an FDR biography, Roosevelt Centurions, FDR and the Commanders He Led to Victory in World War II, by Joseph E. Persico. That is out this week. And then Rush, not Rush Limbaugh, Rush the band. Rush, the Unauthorized Illustrated History, by Martin Popoff, and it's tons of photographs he's collected from their whole history and concerts and all of that good stuff. And then Kylie Fashion by Kylie
Minogue. Oh. Yes, you can.
No, I can't say it at all. You're going to have to say it for me.
Okay. Kylie Minogue.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So anyhow, it's all because we know her as a singer, but she's also quite a fashion superstar and is looked up to in that world. So she has a book out this week. And for you kids, A Flat Stanley Goes Camping. So, yeah, fans of Flat Stanley is a new one there. And then I am breathing a sigh of relief this week in theater news.
Oh, they didn't take the stuff away from Steppenwolf.
They didn't take their nominations away. They were not the actors necessarily, but the production was at fault.
Okay.
And they consider the infractions. And the deal is, like, you have to give a whole review. You can't just give part of a review if you're sharing it. And there were, like, parts of reviews and whatever. Anyhow, so they gave them a very serious reprimand.
All right. Okay.
But they did not cancel the nominations.
Well, that's good. It would have been a travesty to have performances not honored because of a technicality.
Right. Or because of somebody else's stupidity.
Right. Well, that's, yeah.
It's not technicality. Somebody did something wrong.
Yeah.
But Tracy Letts and Amy Morton didn't do anything
right.
wrong.
Right.
So okay. they got a warning.
Yeah.
Got let off with a warning on there you go. That one.
All right. Well, in entertainment news, as if that wasn't, that's good news. The graphic 3-hour French lesbian coming of age tale, Blue in the Warmest Color, from Tunisian board director, is going to have trouble with this, Abdelatif Kechichi.
Well, that was actually hard to say. I can't say things that are like I've said 100 times.
But that film wins the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival, which tons of information coming out about the Cannes Film Festival the past week. Steven Soderbergh may have quit feature filmmaking, but he's not stopping doing stuff at all. His next up, The Nick, an original 20-episode Cinemax series, 10-episode Cinemax series starring Clive Owen in turn of the century. So it's set in 1900, which is Soderbergh is not known for doing period pieces. So maybe this is a challenge for him. But to go from feature filmmaking to television production, it is a switch, but he made this big deal about how he was going to step away from Hollywood for a while, so
yeah.
I don't know. American Horror Story's Evan Peters is joining Bryan Singer's X-Men Days of Future Past as Magneto's son Quicksilver and may possibly reprise that role in Joss Whedon's Avengers 2.
Okay.
Gael Garcia Bernal from Y Tu Mama Tambien and a ton of other great films has been tapped to star in Daily Show Jon Stewart's directorial debut, Rosewater.
Nice.
Tom Cruise has dropped out of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which this film needs to go back on the shelf or just be pulled because George Clooney was originally going to play. They had been developing this project for years and years and years. Clooney said, you know what, after his back injury on Syriana, he's like, I'm not playing an action hero anymore. Forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do too many action pictures. I mean, he did that thing with Jennifer Lopez.
He did the Nicole Kidman.
He did the Nicole Kidman one.
But we're just sad though. Like the plot line's completely escaping me. I just think Nicole Kidman was in it.
The Nicole Kidman one had to do with some kind of weapon, like a big
gun
like or something.
Anything and was one of them like a UN employee?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. There.
Yep. So, anyways, Man from U.N.C.L.E. is going back into turnaround until they can figure out what they want to do with it. Will Forte is locking himself in a hotel room in the next couple of weeks to write the sequel to MacGruber.
Oh, my.
Like the world is really dying for another.
Really, how long has that been?
It's been.
I mean, those were great sketches.
Yeah.
They were fun, but.
For 5 minutes.
Really?
And it was the same thing over and over again. You know?
Wow.
So tell me this story about Jimmy Kimmel and the naked B. Arthur painting.
Somebody bought at auction for almost $2 million. It's a painting of a younger B. Arthur and her boobs. And so anyhow, and we don't know who bought it. So Jeffrey Ross tweeted a picture of himself with a picture. I don't know if it's even the picture, whatever. B. Arthur showing her boobs picture and said, like, thanks for the present, Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh.
And so all news outlets are Jimmy Kimmel bought it. Jimmy Kimmel. And so Jimmy released a statement or said, I didn't buy it. It was a joke. So as of now, we don't know who bought the $2 million naked B. Arthur painting.
All right.
Yeah, because it's a painting. It's not even like a picture of her.
It's an oil painting or an acrylics or something. Yeah. All right. And on that, I will wrap up entertainment news so you can talk about other crazy people.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we can't wrap it up because you got some time now because I'm going to talk Amanda Bynes for a while.
Oh, my God.
Well, first of all, I had planned on my Amanda Bynes news because obviously we're doing her and Kardashian news every week because they're all in the news every week. But thanks to my online friend, the human algorithm, I was going to talk about how Amanda Bynes, whether it's her intent, I'm guessing, or not. She is looking like a stripper called Black China. Well, I was going to talk about that, but you know what? I'm not going to talk about that anymore, because then Amanda went and got herself frickin' arrested. Jeez. Someone, she was allegedly smoking pot in her building, like, lobby. And stuff like called the police. So, allegedly, when they got into her apartment, after she let them in, she opened the window and threw a bong out of it.
Oh my God.
So, she was arrested wearing, like, this nasty freaking ass wig. Yeah, I mean, you all have seen the pictures. Come on. Anyhow, so they took her for a psych eval first, and she's not, like, hurting herself crazy, so they can't hold her,
right,
you know, on psych causes. So anyhow, they just like arraigned her and the judge let her out. Well, she's claiming, first of all, she opened the window to get some air. She didn't throw anything out of it, but that she was, and this is a phrase she used about the police officer that arrested her. He, quote, slapped my vagina.
What?
So now there's an investigation on sexual assault against the police department in New York.
That's not an easy thing to do.
So, well, yeah. So, anyhow, she may need an anatomy lesson.
Yeah, right.
She may mean vaginal area. Let's just give her the benefit of the doubt on that. But anyhow, she's claiming, like, he sexually assaulted her, and he was arresting her, and then whatever. But her mugshot, which is, this is the interesting part to me, at least. Her mugshot, she's really short hair, like maybe half an inch long hair all the way around. So she shaved her head at some point. Remember she shaved like the side of it a few weeks ago? She shaved it all at some point. Mm-hmm. And that's why she's wearing these wigs. But anyhow, so who knows what's going to happen. She has a court date. She's free. Whatever.
People of New York.
Okay, so I was going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because that was the news. But guess what? That's not my Amanda Bynes story anymore.
What?
Now my Amanda Bynes story is brand new, fresh spanking as of Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
Well, dumb girl took to Twitter again. Rihanna. No one wants to be your lover, so you call everyone and their mother that I almost named my new dog Rihanna. Okay, well, first of all, that makes no sense. Barely English.
Yeah.
But the next one actually makes sense. Ready? Rihanna, Chris Brown beat you because you're not pretty enough.
Oh, jeez. And of course, at that moment, Twitter explodes.
Anyhow, she's deleted it. But of course, the screen capture's out there. You guys can see it on TMZ. That's where I'm looking at it on. But here's the best. So Rihanna obviously heard about it.
Yeah.
Because this afternoon, Rihanna tweeted, y'all see what happens when they cancel intervention? I am going with enough said on that one.
You know, I think they banned Courtney Love from Twitter for doing stuff like this. You know, for inciting by saying really stupid
banned
things.
Her. Yeah. But you didn't even know my next story, and you just segued me. Kardashian. So, another Twitter feud.
Oh,
Kendall Jenner and Frances Bean.
What?
Cobain. So Kendall Jenner had tweeted something about, like, she wishes things could be easier sometimes. Right? Yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
So.
My life is so hard.
So Frances called her a fucking idiot. And, you know, Kendall did respond how she understood she is very privileged and best, but asked, who are you to judge me? Which I think she may have a point.
Right.
So Frances Bean went back and said, like, I don't know you, nor do I think you're a bad person. But then she said, publicly complaining about how hard your life is completely self-serving. I believe that venting about one's problems via the internet is a blatant cry for attention. And then she also said, I try to deal with pain in a manner that pertains to my real life, not in a way where strangers throw me a pity party. Oh, okay, so that's Frances Bean's, like, apology to Kendall Jenner.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. And then she says, my mother is a complete idiot who did the same thing. So, therefore, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I think Frances Bean is probably one of the most sane people in Hollywood.
Can you imagine being the child of those two people? a man who was morbidly depressed and wrote amazing songs, and then a woman who was completely off her nut.
Yeah, but she was a baby when he killed himself.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, she doesn't even remember her dad.
I know.
She seems to have it fairly together. But I like her apology is like ripping again, you know?
Yeah.
Anyhow, so yeah, Kendall, just let this one go. You do not want to take on Frances Meem.
Life in the 21st century where there are no more personal boundaries.
Ay, ay, ay. And I love how it's like Twitter feuds.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure never met each other, don't know each other.
You know, and it's funny because it used to be back in the 90s when, well, even late 80s when the internet was just Usenet before the World Wide Web came about. The internet's been around since the 60s. So there used to be these news groups where geeks and, you know, nerds and scientific types would go and talk about Star Trek and all sorts of stuff like that. And they would get into these
wars. Because that's how geeks talk.
Right. But they would feud with each other, and they would call flame wars, where they would do just what's going on Twitter now. So it's interesting to see that as much as the technology changes, that the pattern of behavior does not change at all. Again, it's people who would not say these things to other people's face on the street, and yet behind a screen you can sit and shoot your mouth off for hours and sound like a complete idiot and have no respect for anybody else. So there you go. There's my internet history lesson for the day.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Do we have a contest at DVD Verdict this week?
We do. It's called Blood for Arena.
Ooh.
And the picture is a woman and all the blood's coming down her eye and like down her mouth. Or
lovely.
Chin. It's gross. But it was the official selection of all these like horror film festivals.
Oh, okay.
So.
Oh, good. Head over to DVD Verdict this week and enter to win.
There you go.
All right. And on that bombshell, we will take our leave of you. Enjoy your shortened holiday week with Monday off.
Wait, what is the bombshell? That we have a contest? Or that Kardashians are bitches?
Well, I was thinking more of just like the bloody face kind of.
Oh, okay. I thought I described it for you. I love when we get these things and I'm like doing stuff on the site and I have to like stare at this disgusting horror movie picture. For, you know, while I'm like requesting products and doing things, I'm like, I have to look at all these. Like, it's got to be like a dozen horror movie cover art every day.
Well, back in the
people. My life, what I do for you.
Back in the day, we used to have people complain about the upcoming releases page because there would be, you know, pictures of like bondage and things like this from certain films that were being released by Impulse Pictures or things like that. Mm-hmm. It was softcore. And we would get all these nasty letters like, how dare you promote these things? And like, well, it's kind of like automated, so don't blame us.
Yeah, it's a DVD coming out.
Right.
That's our job.
Yep. Sorry. All right. In any case, enjoy your week. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, thank you for heading over to DVD Verdict to read our reviews and checking out all the news. So until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
But let's not talk of love. Or chains and things we can't untie. Your eyes are soft with sorrow. Hey, that's no way to say goodbye.